am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Picture-perfect memories scattered all around the floor. Reaching for the phone, 'cause I can't fight it anymore. And I wonder if I ever cross your mind. For me it happens all the time. It's a quarter after one, I'm all alone and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call but I lost all control and I need you now.
It's really something.
Thank you. Very sweet.
That I could do things my own way.
This is your way?
Why don't you hire yourself a yes man to run your company? It'd be a lot less stressful for both of us, wouldn't it?
Everyone, this is Carly from Daytime After Dark. Today's a crazy day. I'm waiting for Wendy Wiss. She could be here by 3:30, or we might move it to another day. So I'm going to be on air for, you know, until she lets me know. But don't worry, you guys. We will be interviewing her no matter what. So I hope everyone's having a really good day. is kind of, the weather here is kind of city. But, it's Seattle, so Seahawks. Sorry, people, I'm just, let's see, there has been a lot of daytime news happening, so why don't I just go through that right now. Billy Miller is not going over to YNL. Those were rumors started by Jason fans. I mean, Jason and Sam fans. Number two, Eric Braeden is not retiring or going anywhere. I want to say my prayers off to Christoph St. John's dad, who just had surgery. I really hope he's doing well. Olivia just had a baby from Center Hospital, Lisa Cicero. Try and say that four times, people. She just had a baby, and the baby's name is Beauty Milan Zanny. I hope I said that right. Congratulations to her and her husband and her son Lucas. I'm very, 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 very happy for, them because, they deserve to be happy and let's see what else. There's been rumors that Sean could be coming back to General Hospital. I don't know if that's true. But, we need to fight and get him back on either way because he is so good, and he's good-looking, and he's so good to look at. It's crazy. It's very, very, very crazy. Let's see. I am going to play a song that's been in my head all day. And remember, call in to 347-850-8721.
Another summer day has come and gone away in Paris and Rome, but I want to go home. Maybe surrounded by a million people, I still feel all alone. I want to go home. Oh, I miss you. Want a line or two. I'm fine, baby, how are you? I would send them, but I know that it's just not enough. My words were cold and flat, and you deserve more than that. Another airplane, another sunny place. I'm lucky, I know, but I want to go home. I've got to go home. Let me go home. I'm just too far from where you are. I want to come home. Thank you.
I just stepped outside when everything was going right. And I know just why you could not come along with me. This was not your dream, but you always believed in me. Another winter day has come and gone away, and even Paris and Rome, and I want to go home. Let me go home. And I'm surrounded by a million people, I still feel alone, and I want to go home. Oh, I miss you, you know. Let me go home.
Everyone, that is Blake Shelton, Home. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. And Michael Bublé did it before Blake. So check out both of them because it's a really, really good song for both of them. And I love both Michael Bublé and Blake Shelton. Heck, I will marry both of them, but they already married, which is not fair for Carly. So let's see, what else is going on in soap news? Well, Anna jumped into bed with Sloan very, 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 really fast, faster than normal. So let's see. Yeah. Like I said, Anna jumped into bed with Sloan really quick. You know, Duke just died. And why? Why is it taking, you know, come on, I mean, Duke just died, come on, people. Anna should have waited, and said goodbye of Brady and Melody, happened, and it was, you know, so sad, so everything. And let's see, Little Faith wants Dylan and Sharon have a baby, and what I say about that's what I say about that. Detective Hardy is back on YNL. Brady and Melody said goodbye today with, you know, I'm really sad about that. Let's see. And also, there's a lot of soap news going on, like I said, but I'm going to play another song.
Here I am at 6 o'clock in the morning, still thinking about you. It's still hard. morning to sleep without you. And I know that it might seem too late for love. All I know, I need you now.
Oh, so glad you trusted me to slide up on this dusty seat and let your hair down and get out of town. Got the stars.
Hi, everyone. This is Carly from Daytime After Dog. And we are waiting for Whitney Wiss to come on. And it will be a great show. So we are just waiting for her to come on. Everyone's welcome to call in. So, yeah, like I said, we are waiting for... So I hope everyone can hear me. So I hope everyone's having a really good day. And like I said, we are just waiting for Wendy to call in. Gonna have a great interview with her, and tomorrow we will have Gloria Loring on. She played Liz from Days of Our Life, and she has done Friends and Lovers and all that, and she did the same song with her ex-husband Alan Thick, Facts of Life, Different Strokes. And then on Thursday we have Carolyn Hennessy from General Hospital, Diane. And Friday night, we have Kim Douglas on the show, too. So, you know, we have a lot of, you know, a lot of good guests this week coming on. I hope everyone is having a good day. And Maggie, wherever you are, call in. Everyone else call in. It's very hard to talk to yourself. Yes, it's very hard to talk to yourself. But I can talk to myself all day, which sounds weird. What else I was going to tell you guys. We need to see Mo Sunny on Z8. We need to see... Sunny and Luke together. I mean, we've been wanting to see Sunny and Luke together for a long time, so we really need to see that. And we need more moments with Spencer and Sunny. I love their relationship, people. Their relationship is so cute. Sorry. And, you know, I mean, if we really have to have Anthony and Gary leave us, you know, I want a couple of looking Sunny. You know, I just feel like the daytime people deserve it. You know, that was a friendship that, you know, was so good. And, you know, we really need to, see more of that and have more of that. And that, you know, over the years, we've lost so many good people at daytime. And Lizzie Anthony Gary is a blow to us. It's just a blow to us because we love him. Yeah, I know he wants to retire. But, you know, it's... It's sad to know that Anthony Yodidate's unnumbered. I mean, maybe he just needs to take some time off, and then he will come back. I really hope so because, you know, Anthony Geary has been one of my favorite guys since the beginning of me watching General Hospital. I fell in love with General Hospital from the moment. And, you know, it had a lot of aptitude to Whitney Wolf's style of writing back then and style of producing. You know, I want to think of like 110% for bringing Anthony Gillian Monet's Bernard as a friendship. I think she was the one that started it. Whitney Blue returns June 25th. And, you know, that's going to be good. I love Wiki Blue. So this waiting, I'm good at waiting, people. So I hope everyone's having a good day. And 2 more minutes, Miss Wendy Witt will be in the house. And I'm going to treat it out right now, but everyone can call in. So I hope everyone calls in. This is going to be a awesome show. I've never talked to a producer before. I'm very excited. Well, she will be calling in any moment, you guys. Hey, I've been talking myself for half an hour. But, okay. So, you guys, you know who? The sweet, lovable, the best producer, the best executive producer General Hospital ever had, in my opinion. She brought us Sunny and Looks Friendship. She brought us the Robin and Stone age storyline. She brought the mob, which I want to thank her hands down for. So, everyone, welcome Wendy Witt. Hi.
Hi, Carly. How are you?
Good. But, no, I really want to thank you because you were my favorite producer, and I know I shouldn't say that, but I'm saying that.
Back when you
were doing General Hospital, I could have kissed you because you started the Sunny and Look friendship. And doing that was probably the smartest move anyone ever made in daytime because those two are so good together. And you had the mob and you had Stone and Robin and the whole AIDS thing. How was that? Because I love you, daytime, you after-school special you did, which was terrific during the time.
Well, it was a wonderful time. I mean, I was surrounded by very talented people, so it was easy to do the hard work, let me say that. And, of course, when I had Claire Levine writing for the show, it was joyous. And as you know, I mean, so many of your favorite stories, so many of my favorite stories were the ones that Claire wrote at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It was like, you know, I mean, my other dream is to interview Claire because you know, she and you were like the greatest team ever, in my opinion. The way you handled all the storyline back then, I believe I could be wrong, and I don't like being wrong, but you also did Monica's breast storyline, her cancer storyline, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and we did, and we did Alan's addiction. It was very important to me. It was very important to me, and it was equally important to Claire to reflect how we feel. Not we, Wendy and Claire, but we women and men in the audience, and what's real, even though there may be heightened reactions. We were very, very careful to try to stay very true to who these characters were. Have them evolve, have them grow, but basically know who they are and have their stories come from who they are, not a story put on them, if that's clear.
Yes.
That's the way we would talk to each other. So
because
I knew doctors who were addicted to drugs. I mean, I knew many women. I knew many women who had breast cancer, including my mother. I knew people who had died of AIDS, and these were things that were going on in all of our lives, regardless of how much money we had, who our family was, you know, what our sexuality was, what our gender was. It didn't matter. These were human conditions, and we wanted to really explore them as deeply as we could and be entertaining and have fun, but to explore them.
I mean, every storyline you guys did was so good, and then when you went over to Poor Souls to help over there, my only complaint about that was, I only have one, was it was very, very interesting to see vampires and all that, you know, on PC. But when you had General Hospital, the same town, for me, I'm like, okay, let's see if the vampires are going to get anyone in the hospital today. I mean, I thought that would be a funny little storyline. And
Carly,
you guys...
Carly, you're absolutely right. The intention when I created Poor Charles was that the two shows could complement each other, that they were on different wings of the hospital, and that what went on in the town of Poor Charles would be reflected in both shows. That dream was very difficult to realize because of the magnitude of running each individual show and the enormous task of writing each individual show for the head writer. It became too cumbersome for each head writer to take on what the other head writer wanted to do with their characters. Poor Charles had their characters, and General Hospital had theirs, and only a few crossed over. It wasn't like doing an hour and a half of General Hospital.
No.
Which we could, you know, it was clearly a different group of people. And so it became very cumbersome and, frankly, impossible to do. So the stories were separated. Now, I wasn't overseeing at the time the vampire story happened, though I think Julie did a terrific job. And I loved the vampire story, but I'm not even sure what year that was now that I'm thinking of it. I may have left. When was that?
I think it was 2001.
I was gone.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gone. Because Julie and I would have discussed it and how to do that, but I was already gone, and I think somebody else was there. I know somebody else was there, but I was gone.
Well,
I
know someone
there,
someone that, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm glad you saw it, because, you know, I'm glad you guys did the Nurses Ball together when the Nurses Ball happened the first couple of years post-Solos was on. I liked it that, you know, both shows was both doing the Nurses Ball at the same time. Those were the moments that, you know, the actors could be on both shows doing this good thing of the Nurses Ball.
Yes. The Nurses Ball was a dream that could be realized, because when I first came to General Hospital and I met all of the actors and I spoke to them and listened to them about who their characters were and who they were, and I realized how multi-talented they were outside of the role that they were playing. And so we thought how wonderful it would be to do a Nurses Ball, first of all, in honor of AIDS, and to bring that awareness to the audience and to honor it, and to be able to have fun and let the actors do things that they don't have the opportunity to do. So that was a wonderful way of bringing both sides of the hospital. You know, we called it the East and the West Wing or something like that
yeah.
at that time, to bring them both together. Yeah, it was very great. Those were some of
Like I said in the introduction, you having Luke and Sunny both in the mob together, working together, was a genius, mm-hmm. probably for me, because those are my two favorite actors of all time. But there's this chemistry there that cannot be denied with those two. And, you know,
right.
I mean, you know, you gave them kind of a bromance before bromances were not even known of. And I loved it. And I loved what you did with the Spencer family. I mean, you were doing all the families back then, the Quartermains. Now the Quartermains are kind of killed off.
I know.
But I loved how you were able to do each family and not leave the other families left out of the storyline. I always thought that was really good.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It was a couple of things. First of all, family is very important to all of us. Regardless of who our family is, we either have good families, we have difficult families, we have complex families, we're with our families, we're not with our families, but family life is familiar to all of us, even if we have our work families. There are dynamics that go on in families that are really important to all of us and real and that are great to explore. But when I got to the show, they weren't exploring the family. So the first thing that we did was focus on the families and bring them back. I mean, I remember sitting with Jackie Zeman and saying, "Don't you have a daughter? Where is she?" And Jackie teased. She said, "Oh, I think we keep her in the basement." I said, "Well, we got to get her out of the basement." I mean, you know, I, as a kid, grew up in New York, and we had a basement, and we played in the basement all the time. But we did come up for food, and we did come up for air, and we did go outside, and we did go, you know, to our place of worship. And it's time to bring the children out from the basement and really look into who our families are and go from there. So, you know, it's really important. I appreciate all of this, but you do understand, Carly, and anybody listening, everybody listening, that nobody does this alone. This is an extraordinary team effort, and it's a very complicated group. It's not complicated people, but it's complicated to do it, to coordinate that many people. And everybody, when there's a really good story, just moves along really easily and and everybody contributes beautifully. So every story that you're bringing up, I mean, Luke and Sunny, I believe Claire wrote that, and she wrote it beautifully. Yeah, and she wrote it beautifully. She knew what was needed there. You know, when we would talk very often about different stories that we'd want to tell and how to tell them, I wanted to do an AIDS story when I first came onto the show, and it was too early for the network to do it. They just weren't on board right away or with the characters that I wanted to do it with. And when I met with Claire, we talked about it, and we talked about how it was a non-discriminatory disease and that we really needed to, whatever we said, point out that even smart people can make stupid choices. It's not about being a drug addict or being gay or anything like that. People make choices, and there are ramifications of their uninformed choices. And And we, Claire came up with Robin and Stone, and we worked very hard on that story together.
Yeah, I mean, that storyline will go down in one of the history as one of the greatest storylines. And also when Beasley died. I will admit, yeah, I skipped school for Beasley's death because you heard about this big accident that was coming. And, you know, no one, I mean, there was no social media then. So you didn't know what was going to happen. And so
I kind of
faked a fever. And I had to stay home and watch it. And it was, you and Claire did a great job. Again, organ donation wasn't really known back then.
Right.
That's good. So, again, you guys did a great job of that.
Well, we thank you. We talked it through. You know, one of us would have an idea and the other would have another idea, and we'd work together on it. And I remember, you know, I mean, that was something Claire wanted to do, something about organ donation. And then we talked about, I remember the meeting, and I think I said, you know, there's something that is not done and can be very risky to kill a child of the beloved family and a beloved character,
mm-hmm.
but what if it was this way and not a stranger? And Claire
mm-hmm.
jumped on that, and Shelley said, you know, my husband is a heart surgeon, and I remember there was this transplant, and the father of the other child leaned down and listened to the heart inside of the living child, and so it came together with Claire's genius writing. The ideas were put into a pool that just were perfect. I think really great storytelling on Claire's part, and she was very collaborative. And
yeah,
her daughter and son were there at the time too, and they were wonderful.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. Then you went to the Gunna Beats and the real Orange County. Okay, I will admit I was a closet the Gunna Beats fan. I was. I still watch the reruns. How was that? Because, you know, it wasn't a soap that you were going into. This was, you know, way back the reality show craze just started back then. So
yeah.
How was that?
Well, it actually was a soap. It was just not a scripted soap. I had never watched a soap opera. Maybe I watched one or two episodes before I went to General Hospital. But what I did do and what I had worked on was story and characters, and I knew people and character. I knew how to create and write that. And when I, after the years of General Hospital, when I went on to Laguna Beach the first year, I remember feeling very odd at first, shooting the first episode and watching real people live out their real soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt weird. I felt it was voyeuristic, and it was. But what we were able to do was capture reality. That was very unscripted. Today's reality shows are very scripted. That was the first what they called a docu-soap. And I guess that word comes from documenting the soap opera of real life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. And those kids were very real. And what they said was completely authentic. We didn't tell them anything to say. You know, we might say, hey, why don't you go miniature golfing? Yeah, we'd love to do that. And then, you know, remind them of where they were, you know, last week or what they said to us in the morning. And then they would just talk about it and we would edit it together. And it looked like a film. It looked like it was scripted, but it was not scripted. It was pieced together in parts, but it wasn't scripted. They said what they actually said. It was great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was. You know, that's part of the creative process for me. That's so enjoyable is seeing the human condition and seeing how people react and act. And that's why on General Hospital, it was important to stay as true as we could to character. in friendships and relationships. One of the things that I see in many soap operas and I hear from many writers is, well, if a relationship is too good, it's boring. And I'm married 48 years, and I can tell you it's not boring. And it is,
exactly.
It can be volatile. It has its ups and downs because life has its ups and downs. And so I'm just not a big believer in break them up, start them with somebody else just to get some drama. I like to dig into the relationships and explore how those people live.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, back at General Hospital, when the divorce of Luke and Laura came down, oh my gosh,
yeah.
You could hear pens drop. You know, but, you know, here was this couple that no one thought would ever break up. And when they broke them up, it was like, okay, wait a moment. They have so much still to do, and you just want to break them up. So I agree with you. That, you know, my parents have been married 45 years almost, and they are not boring by at all. So, I mean, that's what the whole thing to do. Why did you leave General Hospital? A lot of people asked me that, and I never, you know, I didn't want to give them the long answer or nothing.
Well, I think it was time to leave, but I was fired, and that's what happened. And people get fired all the time in this business. I felt at the top of my game. It was probably time to move on. I don't think I ever would have moved on. I loved it so much, but I didn't have a choice at that time. And good things have come from that for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a difficult time. You know, ratings were down and stories, when stories struggle, there's, you know, politics that go on with the network or inside, and it was just one of those situations that didn't work for me.
Well,
or it did.
I mean,
it gave me a great opportunity. You know, I needed to move on. Maybe it was time for new blood to come into the show. I don't know. I will to you that I don't watch the show, and I couldn't watch the show after I left. I tried, and it had become so much a part of my life. The characters were so much my family, and that to see them do things and be a certain way and say things, and, it wasn't working for me. I watched a little bit, and then I just couldn't watch anymore. So I have tuned in periodically to see the nurse's ball, to see what they would do and how the quality was and how they produced it. But I don't recognize a lot of characters. I don't know a lot of the cast. And of course, I miss the Quatermains. But anyway, that said, I'm really glad that a lot of people are really still loving the show. That's the most important thing.
I mean, people still have their love-hate relationship with General Hospital. I am not going to lie to you, but did you create the Quatermain fight? Were you and Claire were the one that created the Quatermain fight? Because that will go down as the best family fights ever.
No, I don't think we created them, because I think they were well-established before I got on the show. But we certainly tried to play enough of them because they were fun and they were real. You know, they reminded me of my family.
Yes.
Yeah, a little more extreme, but they remind, you know, I mean, we fight as families and we, you know, we try to tell each other what to do and we think we know better and we don't listen and we're, you know, not quite as manipulative, but maybe we are. And so, no, we did not create the Quatermain fights. The Quatermains were there for many, many years before us, and the fans who have been regular viewers for 40 and 50 years would know better where the beginning of that was. It probably was the beginning when it was created.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was little. I started at 5 watching General Hospital. I know a lot of people are like, are you crazy? I'm like, hey, excuse me, it was great. It was when I was supposed to be taking my nap. So what, if a kid take a nap while he's in a hospital? I say while he's in a hospital. But the thing is, I love you producing. I saw what you did. That was so good, and Deadly Kill was so good. And I found
Deadly Chair?
Yeah.
You mean the
yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I thought that was so good. I love movies like that. So
did you see Who Will Love My... Do you remember Anne Margaret and Who Will Love My Children?
Yes. Yes.
That was one of the first movies I made, yeah. I love that movie.
Wow. So what are you doing now? Would you want to go back in daytime? Are you happy where you are now? Because we really miss you in daytime, so.
Well, I really appreciate it. I actually haven't had an interview or spoken to anybody in a long time other than my immediate friends. And I, you know, would I go back? I would never say no to anything, but right now I am. Everybody is pretty settled in their shows. There are fewer shows, and I think all of the teams are pretty tight and doing their work in sync. I am very happy working right now with my husband and my younger son. We have a company, and we do feature films and television. They produced a film that is coming out July 24th, Gyllenhaal and Rachel McAdams, and it's called Southpaw.
I know, I cannot wait.
It. Yeah, well, that's my husband and son's movie, and we have about 25 other movies in various stages of development. Those are features, and then we have about 25. Television series in development, both in the 1 hour and the half hour form. I just came from a meeting with David Shore, who, as you know, created House, and we developed something with a writer named Jan Oxenberg, and it's a wonderful show about a unlikely caregiver, a woman estranged from her father, who is a commitment phobe. She has difficulty committing to her boyfriend. And she finds out that her father has Alzheimer's, and she can't put him in a home. She takes him to live with her and her boyfriend. So it's really about reclaiming your childhood and maybe having your father back in your life and getting to know him for the first time.
Oh,
and in a strange way, it's about
I cannot wait to see that. That looks so good. I want to watch it now. The way you're describing, I'm like, okay, put it on right now. But I know you can't. But
I can't. We developed it for AMC, and we're in the process of redeveloping it now and taking it out elsewhere because it didn't. They loved the material. They loved the script. But you know, in our business, that's not enough. Sometimes it's just about programming and timing and luck. So we're looking to where to take it now. But it's a very special project of mine. And the inspiration for the project comes from Lisa Sarasoli, who was on. She wrote a book called As Nora Jo Fades Away. It's an extraordinary book. And it's the story of her taking her grandmother in to live with her and her new husband and her daughter as her grandmother faded away into Alzheimer's. And Lisa is a terrific writer. She has a great sense of humor and great depth. And when I read the book, I was very inspired and then found a writer, and the writer wrote her own story. She had her own father who had Alzheimer's. But the inspiration of it comes from Lisa. Lisa is a spokesperson for Alzheimer's and an extraordinary writer. And Rena Sofer actually gave me the book first.
Is interesting.
Rena and I became good friends after the show. We even wrote a script together based on Rena's life. So
awesome.
One day, Yeah, one day Rena said to me, you've got to read Lisa's book, and I did, and I was pretty blown away. So shout out to Lisa, and everybody go get her book. It's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, I totally will. You know, I cannot wait for your husband movie now. I'm obsessed with Jake Gyllenhaal for some unknown reason. Oh, maybe it's the way he looks. I see you retweet every once in a while about Young and the Restless and the whole Nikki intervention stuff. I saw you retweet, and I loved what you retweeted about Christoph St. John's son and all that, because, you know, I call him my TV husband.
He's very
long story. Yeah, but, so, I mean, do you watch what's going on over Young and the Restless, since you
when I was doing General Hospital, I did not watch any other show, but I started to watch Young and Restless about 3 or 4 years ago, and I haven't missed an episode.
Yes, I know how that is.
So,
I mean, I watch
I know how you feel. I know how you feel. Yes, I love the characters, and it gives me my soap family feel.
Well, and I mean, you have some of, you know, the General Hospital people over there, like my little Stevie. Which is really good.
He's
I better bring on a caller because he's going to suit me and I don't feel like dying today.
Oh, God, don't die today.
Yeah,
but
Alvin.
Melody Scott Thomas is doing a phenomenal job. I mean, I just.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, he is. See,
okay.
Alvin, you're on the air.
Hello. I call myself Alvin George. I meant, like, that's not my real name. Like, Wendy Reese, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. Going back to that movie Deadly Curve that Carly brought up earlier. Did you actually work with Cheryl Ladd on that movie or not? I know you were an executive producer.
Yes, I was the producer of that movie, I was there. I developed the script from an original idea of mine and my partners. And we produced the movie. We were there every day.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, I used to watch reruns of Charlie's Angels a lot. I personally wish that, Cheryl Ladd had done a project with Marcy Walker before Marcy retired from show business. And I brought up Marcy on Daytime After Dark before, so, like, Yeah, and by the way, would you worry about the same Wendy?
I was just going to say Cheryl Ladd's a great actress, and she was terrific to work with.
Okay, yeah, and my late maternal grandmother used to watch General Hospital all the time, and then, like, and so like, anyhow, have you ever watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? You said that today's reality shows are at least for the most part scripted. Like, have you ever watched that show or not?
I have watched them more than I would like to say. I actually had to stop recently because there's other stuff that I want to watch, and it takes up a lot of time. But I was fascinated the first couple of years. Yes. Yeah, they're more scripted. I mean, they do tell people what to do or how to be, and I think people have caught on. Not I think I know people have caught on to to how to get the attention of the audience and therefore get popular and create a brand. What I do find is no matter how quote scripted these shows are, you cannot escape the camera. The camera in captures who you are in reality television. And you can pretend to be one way, but you are who you are, who you are at the end of the day. If you do something that is wrong and you're doing it for, you know, the reason of your own self-aggrandizement or, you know, to get attention or to get your brand going, you're exposing who you are. So I, you know, they, it, no matter how scripted it is, that you can see very clearly what kind of people they are. If they're pretending to be sweet, you can see the pretense. You know,
mm-hmm.
at least I feel that way.
No,
right,
I go ahead, Alvin.
Wendy, what do you have to say about people who claim that reality television has largely destroyed daytime soap operas? I meant on the most recent season of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like, Eileen Davidson and, like, Lisa Rinna were regular cast members, and they've been known for roles on daytime soap operas. What do you have to...
There were a couple of questions in there. Which one... One is... has it ruined daytime? And the other was something about Lisa Renner?
The first one, basically, the first thing you brought, like, do you think...
He keeps jumping out, Carly.
I know.
What do you have to say to people who believe that reality television has destroyed daytime to a significant degree?
Well, times change. You know,
mm-hmm.
Times change. I mean, when women weren't working as much, and, you know, you've heard this, guys, a mother would be home with her children and
mm-hmm.
you know, ironing and with her mother and even her mother's mother, a grandmother, and they'd all watch their soap. Well, things started to change in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and certainly by the 90s, and women were, you know, back out at work, and they didn't have the time in the day. And so the audiences started to go away. That said, there is a cost factor. I mean, one of the reasons Poor Charles went off the air was financial. It
mm-hmm.
just cost twice as much as a talk show. Now, that's not reality television. That's not, you know, reality like Real Housewives or like Laguna Beach. But even they would cost less in production.
Yep.
But shows like, you know, The Real Housewives cost more because those women make a lot of money now. But, you know, a Laguna Beach was much less expensive than a Poor Charles, as was, well, not than Poor Charles, relatively speaking. But a talk show, much less expensive, half the price. And so the network
yep.
just looked at it, and they said it didn't make financial sense. But the audience loved it. So I don't, it's sometimes it's just, you know, dollars and cents. It's where's the audience? Times change. There's a lot of soap opera right now on prime time and in cable. Every good show is a soap opera, different kinds. You know, it's not the traditional, the ones that we're used to, but, you know, even Sons of Anarchy, Game of Thrones, Mad
yep.
Men. You know, those are soap operas. You know, they're, you just look at the Scandal's a soap opera, Revenge is a soap opera. You name it. They're
mm-hmm.
if it's not a procedural cop show, it's a soap opera.
Yep,
in form.
Mm-hmm. Alvin, do you have any other questions? Because I have a couple more before we end the interview on my own.
One before I go, like, okay, like, Kiko Ellsworth was on, from former Port Charles actor, was on the show on Daytime After Dark recently. He said that Port Charles was a year round show. Yet the Wikipedia article has said that it's claims that it only taped for 6 months out of the year. Wendy, where do you think that claim came from? You know,
He keeps cutting out.
Yeah,
what's the question?
We had Kiko on also a week and a half ago, and he said Pozos was 6 months. You guys did it, and then you got a 6 month hiatus, and that was his question. You know.
Well, that must have been. First of all, I was not on the show then. I was gone because
mm-hmm.
I left. I think in '99.
Yeah, you did.
Summer, 99, yeah. And so that was, you know, about how to save money. You know, they probably jammed. Get Julie Carruthers on the show. She'll talk about Poor Charles. She's great. And she
mm-hmm.
knows it intimately. And they just, you know, they had to save money. The shows were getting too costly.
Yeah, they were. I'll be thanks for calling.
Yep. Bye, Wendy. Bye, Carly.
Bye-bye. Thank you so
bye.
Much.
Bye.
Yeah, my host and my co-host, everyone is getting sick. I don't know what's going on, but I think it's allergy season. So, you know, allergy season is kicking everyone's butt. I'm on my own today. I started the show, and I put a couple of songs on, and, you know, talking to yourself for 15 minutes is not fun, but I can make jokes, so, you know. But back when you were saying about, you know, you lost Young and the Restless, you know, it's funny. I mean, I'm kind of glad you do, but I won the Zach storyline to get over Wendy. I won the real Zach home, and I won Victor to pay. So bad.
I'm with you. let me just say that I'm with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like I'm going to string a victim in the neck today, but I won't really, people. Really, I would not single Eric Braden's neck. I promise. But
He's wonderful. But do you think that Victor would go that far?
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
I do. The hate he had for Zach Abbott all those years is coming and is sewing into what he's doing right now. And if he thought what would it do to his kids when they find out what he did, you know, he doesn't think about, I'm going to get in doggy do for this one. No, he just does it. And like my grandfather was a closet YNR fan. He used to scream at the TV, "Didn't you?" Well, I'm doing the clean version. "Didn't you, Victor Newman? How can you get away with this?" So, you know, that's how I got into YNR, because I saw him watching and I'm like, a man is watching a soap opera. Oh, that's very, you know, unique, I thought. And we cannot wait for all you projects to come. But I have one used to do a half an hour comedy on your life about an ex soap opera producer, and she gets fired, and she finds her way out of the darkness, and she tries to, like, bring her name back up, even though you don't need to bring your name back up. But she tries to get on top again.
Well, thank you. I'm on top with my life, and I'm very
grateful.
Well,
I know.
I have a great husband. I have great children and grandchildren and friends, and I love the work that I'm doing. And you know, stuff happens in business, and as long as I get to create, I'm happy.
Wait. You're a grandmother? No. Wendy, you're not. You're too young to be a grandmother. No, I don't buy it. You're way too young to be a grandmother.
Well, I appreciate that, but I have four grandchildren.
Oh, well, see, you can spoil them like crazy because you're a grandma. When you're a parent, you couldn't. But thank you so much for coming on, and we hope you can come on again when whenever you produce a movie or whatever. You have an open invitation to Daytime After Dark.
Thank you so much, Carly. I appreciate it.
Yep, have a good day.
You have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone, that was Wendy Wiss, and you can catch the interview after we played, and I want to thank you for calling in, and thank Christopher, and have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye. Oh, see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. for Go Alone. Bye-bye, everyone.